Thank you. Oh. Creator this morning, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for truly it's been good, Father, to sing the songs of Zion this morning, Father. Lord, I believe you're in song, Father, but Lord, as we come to the end of that part, Lord, we come to another portion, dear God, Lord, that your word this morning. Lord, I ask, Father, that Lord, you would be free this morning in the chambers of our heart, dear God. Lord, I ask, dear God, that, Lord, we, Father, would bring you on the scene, Father. Lord, we invite you this morning to come, dear God, and, Lord, to walk up and down every corridor of every heart, Father. Lord, but, Lord, not just to walk into the front door, Father, but, Lord, to walk into the closets, Father. Lord, to open up the closets and look in the corners, Father. Lord, to see if there's anything that would hold us up, Father. Lord, I ask you, dear God, Lord, would you be free, Father, this morning? Lord, we call you on the scene, dear God. Lord, I ask, Father, Lord, as I stand here this morning, Father. Lord, I'm just a man, Father. But, Lord, if you'll come, dear God. Lord, if you'll come this morning, Father, then, Lord, it'll make all things right, Father. Lord, we invite you to do that, Father. Lord, we ask, Father, as Samson did one time, standing between those two pillars, Father. Lord, just once more, Father, could we feel your presence, Father. Just once more, dear God, would you come, dear God, and speak to our situation this morning. Lord, we believe you're able, Father. Lord, would you come, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to John chapter 4? We'll begin reading in verse 6. John chapter 4, verse 6. I want to say we really enjoyed ourselves last night, but last night's history. Yes. We're in a new day now. Last night was good. We felt God, but I want to feel Him again this morning. How about you?
Amen.
I want to feel Him again come on the scene and be the Lord of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Last night we were speaking along the lines of revival and worship, and this morning we're just going to kind of stay along those same lines if it be all right. And this morning, let's turn to John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. God bless you. You can have your seats this morning. I'd like to take for a thought this morning, if we could, just a simple little thought on go meet Jesus. Go meet Jesus. You know, you can come this morning, and I trust that you came this morning to meet Jesus. I trust you didn't come this morning to see a man or to hear a man preach, because if you came this morning looking for a man to do something, then I'm telling you, you'll leave disappointed. But if you come this morning and you're looking to find Jesus, and Brother Brown said you'll get what you expect, amen. He said you get what you expect when you come to a service. And if you come this morning expecting to see Jesus, then Jesus is exactly what you'll see this morning, Brother Tony. Amen. And if we come this morning with one desire, you know, as I said, yesterday was great, but that's history. God's not a God of yesterday, but He's a God of I am. He's a God of right now. He's not a God of the future, but He's a God of I am, right now. I am is your present state. Hello? But as I look at this thought here, we see here in verse 8, for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So now we have a scene here beginning to unfold. Here was this little Samaritan woman, as I could see her, she woke up in the morning, and little did she know what was happening that morning whenever she got out of bed. Undoubtedly, she thought that it would be just another day. Maybe that some of you this morning thought that you would come to service and it would just be another service. You would sing songs, you would hear the preaching, and you would go home. Come on, somebody. But today is not just another day. Today is a day that if you'll purpose in your mind, today's your day of overcoming. Amen. So she got up, and I can see her maybe begin to think that maybe just another day, it was just another day. And she began to, I can see her get around, and she got dressed and got her things together and grabbed her water pot because she was out of water. And she began to walk up the way, and as she was walking, I can see her. Maybe she had a little song in her heart, and she was just kind of singing along the way. But little did she know that just beyond the hill, sitting on that well that she had went to many times, time and time again, to draw water out of. But sitting on that well today, there was something different about that well. The well was still there, but there was something different about it. And we notice in verse 8 how that Jesus sent His disciples away. That's showing that God was getting ready to do something great. You look down through the Bible, before God done something wonderful, He sent everybody away. He would send them out. You look at the healing of Jairus' daughter, how that Jairus' daughter was laying there on the sick bed. You know, she was at the point of death. She was dead. You know, but yet, whenever Jesus came in, He had to move everybody to the outside. Why? Because He had to get rid of doubt. He had to get rid of fear. He had to get rid of questioning. He had to get rid of all of those things, because the atmosphere had to be just so for the move of God to take place, Brother Tony. The atmosphere had to be just in such a state to where God could be free. And he walked in there, and there was Jairus' daughter, and He sent everybody to the outside, because there was people there undoubtedly saying, oh, there's no hope. There's no way that anything will ever come good out of this. There's no way. Hello, you ever been there? You ever been there where it seemed like there's just no way that God could turn your situation into something wonderful? Right. Oh, I've been there. Yeah. I've been there, and I've looked at Him, and I thought, God, do You really know just exactly what You're doing? Hello? I thought, God, you've really, there's been times I thought You really messed up. You know, because that's the way I am. That's this carnal nature. You look and you think, there ain't no way. But where there is no way, that's where God is wonderful. That's where God's most powerful. But here they come, and this little woman, He had just sent His disciples off to get them away, because He had something that He had to deal with. He had a little lady coming up there that needed something from the giver of life. And she needed a drink of living water. Hello. But here she comes, and she, verse 8 says, "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Then saith the woman of Samaria, verse 9, unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." Boy, that sounds like a lot of us, doesn't it? That sounds like a lot of us. We have no dealings with this one over here because they don't see things quite the way I see things.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't care if they see things the way I see things or not. That's neither here nor there. But I'm telling you right now, if that spirit is right, if the spirit is right, Brother Brown said he'd rather be right in his spirit and wrong in his doctrine. Hello? That's what he said. He said he'd rather be right in his spirit and wrong in his doctrine because that right spirit would bring the doctrine around. But we get that, we get so caught up, we can't have nothing to do with this one over here because they may not see it the same way. Let me tell you, it's not up to me. You know, I hear people say many times, and this might be a bit of a hard statement, but just bear with me. I hear people many times say that they've got to get. I was at a place one time, and I was speaking to some brothers, and they kept saying that outside of this message, there is no life. And I agree with that. Outside of this message, there is no life. And they kept saying that if you didn't get people to a prophet, then they were lost. I believe that too. I believe that too. But I'm not out trying to get people to a message.
Right.
I'm not trying to get people to a message.
Right.
I'm trying to get people to Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ get them to a message. You can't go out here to somebody on the street and say, "Well, Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said this." That don't mean nothing to them.
Right.
They couldn't care less what Brother Branham said. Yeah, it might be revealed to you, but they don't care what Brother Branham said. It makes them know, never mind what he said. But if I go to them and I say, "Here the Holy Bible says this about that situation, about that. What is it?" They can see that. They can identify with that. But they can't identify with the message. They can't identify with that. We try so many times to get people to a message. And if we can't get them to a message, if they don't see it just like that, they're lost. They're serpency.
Right.
No, that ain't the case.
Exactly right.
That ain't the case. You don't try to get. I don't never, when I'm dealing with somebody, I don't deal with them on a William Branham basis. I deal with them on a Holy Word basis. I don't care. I'm not. I believe this word. I believe it. I believe that message with all of my heart. And that will come. But first, you've got to get them to Jesus. Because if they don't see Jesus, they'll never see a message.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
We're talking about go meet Jesus. People come to you looking for God. Don't take them to a message book somewhere, but first take them to the Word.
Right.
Take them to the Word and show them in the Word. And then once they begin to see it in the Word, then introduce a message to them. Hello?
Right.
Then introduce life to them.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we got people that have got it so mixed up. They can't. They've got it all out of order. First, Brother Tony, as I said, you've got to get them to Christ. You say, "Ben, you're discrediting the message." Not at all. Not one bit am I discrediting the message. I'm telling you how to fight the enemy. I'm telling you how to deal with it. I'm telling you what it takes to win souls for Christ.
Yes.
I don't discredit this message. I believe this message. But yet we can't take just the message. You know, we've got too many people in the message today. In the message today that have turned a man into God.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
They've turned a man into God. I believe I know where I'm at this morning.
Amen.
They've turned a man into God. And let me tell you something. Last I checked, I don't think he died for me. Last I checked, I don't think his hands had nail prints in them. Is that all right?
Amen.
I'm talking about going to meet Jesus. I'm not talking about going to meet a message, even though they were one of the same. Hello.
Amen.
They were one and the same, but it takes eyes that you can see. That takes spiritual eyes to see. Somebody off the street can't see that.
Amen.
We're coming down to the final hour and we're talking about going to meet Jesus. We've got to get people to Him.
Amen.
We've got to, the Bible says, go out and compel them to come. They know what compel means? It means to force. I have to compel my children sometimes to do something that they do not want to do. You know, they'll sit there and they'll argue with you. Oh, you know. You all know. They'll sit there and they'll argue and argue and argue until finally Dad's footrest on his chair comes down. And once that happens, revelation sets in. Oh, Lord! He's serious! Yeah, I'm serious! But I've got to reach over there sometimes and I've got to get my hands on them. And I've got to pull them around here. And you know what I'll do with them? I'll pull them nose to nose. And they know it's over when they're nose to nose. Pull them nose to nose and say, listen, Buckwheat, this is the way it's going to be. And then all of a sudden, it broke their spirit. All of a sudden they can see, hey, he's right. He's right. And you know how many times that after you break that spirit down, my children will come to me and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. You were right. Oh, they couldn't see it at first. They couldn't see that. But once they got their spirit broke, once they broke that spirit down, then they could identify with what was right and what was wrong. Because they was being controlled by something other than the right spirit beforehand. Are you following me?
Amen.
They was being controlled by something other than what was right. But once you broke that spirit down and I compelled them to listen, hello, then they was able to identify between what was right and what was wrong. It's funny how that works. The Bible says, go out and compel them to come. You know, we got too many lazy people that don't want to go out and compel nobody. Oh, they're happy, us four and no more. Let me tell you something. I'm taking a rapture. And if somebody in this congregation's holding me up, I'm telling you right now to stop it.
Amen.
Oh, my. If somebody's holding me up, just stop. Just stop. Let's go. Let's go. Let's lay it down and let's move on in Christ. Let's go meet Jesus.
Right.
If you've got something that's stopping it, let's go meet Him. Let's lay it down. Let's break that spirit and go meet Jesus.
Right.
Brother, you know, there ain't nobody in this place going before I do. There ain't nobody. You all, if I ain't there before you, you ain't going. Brother Brown said, if you... Everybody's looking at me kind of weird. Brother Brown said, if you do anything, he said, you determine in your mind that if nobody else makes it, I'm going to make it. If nobody else is going, I'm going. So therefore, I tell you that you're going to have to beat me there. I'm telling you that you're really going to have to do something because I say I'm going to make it before Brother Tony. I'm going to be there first because I'm determined to beat him. And he's looking at me and he's saying, you're crazy.
I'm going to go first.
You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about because he thinks he's going first. Well, I disagree. Because I determined in my heart that I'm going to meet Jesus before He does. And that's the way each and every one of you ought to be. You ought to determine within yourself that if your brother don't go with you, if your sister, if your husband, if your wife don't go with you, you're going just the same, period.
Amen.
That ought to be it. I'm going to meet Him.
That's right. Amen.
Go meet Jesus. And here was this little woman. She says, well, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That just sounds like the way it is. But something, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask me, ask him, and he would give thee living water. Verse 10 again, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst ask him, and he would have given thee living water. In other words, she knew who and what kind of an opportunity. Hello? In other words, if she knew who and what kind of opportunity was standing before her, she would be asking him, Lord, give me drink of eternal life. She was standing before the Prince of Peace. This day that started out normal, all of a sudden she found herself in the presence of God. All of a sudden she could walk up there, and I could see her now as she's walking up the hill. She had the water pot on her head. Walking up there, and as she crossed the hill, there was a man sitting there. And little did she know that when she went to this man, she didn't know she was heading up there to have a life-changing experience.
Right.
She didn't have no idea. Well, she didn't, just the same. She didn't know she was going up there to meet the Prince of Peace. She didn't know she was going up there, but she walked up there and she began to talk with him. God began to talk with her. And as he was talking with her, he finally, what was he doing? He was carrying on a normal conversation, Brother Tony. But yet all the time, he was trying to contact her spirit. And he's sitting there and he's trying to contact her spirit. And finally, as she came into contact with Jesus, we're talking about going to meeting today. I'm saying I want a meeting this morning. Last night wasn't enough to hold me over. I believe it's a renewing every day. Every day it's a renewing with the Holy Spirit. Every day there ought to be a sweet presence of God that illuminates your life. That's right. We live so far below our means, saints. It's the same devil. You know, I would quit preaching this stuff. I would quit preaching this encouraging stuff if we had enough faith to cure a toothache.
Ooh.
You say, Ben, why do you preach things like that? Why don't you preach the deep things? Well, let me tell you something. Whenever we get to where we can accept the basics, then we'll start preaching the deep things. We'll start preaching those things. Now, I'm the same way. Come on now. Don't shut me down. I'm the same way. Whenever I can accept the basics, I'll start receiving the deep things of God.
Right.
But yet we want to get our cart before the horse many times. You say, Ben, you're preaching ignorance. No, I'm not preaching ignorance. But I'm preaching that before you can accept the deep things of God, you've got to first have enough faith to look at it and say, God said so, I believe it, and that settles it.
Amen.
But she sits there and she walks up to him and she begins to look at him and he begins to speak with her. And he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me to give you a drink. In other words, if she knew what kind of an opportunity was sitting before her, she would have ran and fell at his feet and said, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Is that all right? She would have said, Jesus, I have need of thee. I want you to give me drink. Why? Because he was sitting on the well. She went up there to draw natural water. She went up there to draw water that was going to quench her thirst naturally. But he sits there and he says, the water I'll give you. You'll never thirst again. You know, she went up there to get water out of the well, but God didn't just give her water out of the well. He gave her the well. He gave her the well. It wasn't the natural well, but it was a well of living water. A well that'll change your soul. A well that'll give you strength to fight the enemy.
Amen.
Come on now. Somebody's got to be strong enough to fight him, because you're going to fight all the way till rapture. You and I are going to fight until God raptures us out of here. If you ain't fighting, you say, well, everything's just going hunky-dory. I'd say maybe you ought to just check up a little bit. Because he ain't fighting his allies. Woo! He ain't fighting his allies. If you ain't fighting, I'd say we better find out where we stand. And we better go meet Jesus, because let me tell you something. I know that this old boy, is fighting a battle every day. If I ain't in a battle, I just came out of a battle, or I'm getting ready to go into one. I'm either in a battle, came out of a battle, or getting ready to go into one. And as you get closer to the end, it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. There's nothing getting easier. But as we get closer to the end, faith begins to build and build and build and build. He gives you what you have need of to find, as Moses had. He didn't got to go look for something. He already had what he had need of. And you've got the same thing. Come on, somebody. Amen. You've got the same thing. You ought to be so happy. You ought to be the happiest people. We're talking about meeting God. I want to meet him. I want to meet the literal body of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Where is the literal body of Christ? I believe I'm looking at it.
Amen.
I believe the literal body of Christ is sitting here and it's amening the word. Right. I believe the literal body. Hello! I believe the literal body of Christ is sitting here. What is it? It's a many-membered bride body. Many member. He has a part. She has a part. He has a part. She has a part. And without her, I'm not complete. If she's hurting, I'm hurting.
That's right.
If she's hurting, there's something. You know, if I broke my hand, the rest of my body would hurt because my hand was broke. Because I'm not complete without that hand. I'm not complete without it. If Brother Tony's hurting, I'm hurting with Brother Tony. And that tells me that I've got to get... I might not agree with him. I don't know that I don't. I'm just saying. I might not agree with him. I don't know of anything I disagree with him on. You know how the devil is. I don't know of anything I disagree with him on. But if I didn't agree with him, I might not agree with him, but yet he's hurting. He's hurting. We've got to come to a place to where no matter what, whether I agree with him or not, I can wrap my arms around him, I can call him brother, and I can say, I'm in this battle with you. You might be down, but here's a hand. Here's a hand. Will you take a hold of it? I want to help you back up. I want to help you back. You know what we got? We got too many people that want to kick people while they're down. They want to kick them. Instead of kicking them, why don't you reach a helping hand out and say, brother, sister, come on. You might have fallen flat on your face, but there's a battle out here, and I need you on my side. I need you because I can't take my goal without you. So if I have to carry you, you're going with me.
Amen.
If I have to drag you, you're going with me. I'm not leaving you here for the enemy to take you, but I'm reaching a helping hand. Yeah, I might not agree with what you've done there, but it does not matter. It's not my place to tell you that you're saved or you're unsaved.
Amen.
We spend too much time rotting people out. Mm-hmm. We spend too much time saying, oh, they're serpents. Oh, they're never going to make it. They're just playing. But if we spent the same amount of time, Lord, I don't know where this is coming from. If we spent the same amount of time trying to put people in as we did trying to take people out, let me tell you something, we'd take a rapture. Love. Love will cure disease. Love will tame a wild animal. Love will bring God on the scene.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, I'd say he was greater. I'd say he was a lot greater. I'd say here he is. He was greater. He's a kinsman redeemer. He's the next of kin. He's your father. Hello. You don't get no closer than a daddy. Now, I'd say he's greater than Jacob. You don't get no closer. I ask you, if he's your daddy, how can you be lost?
Right.
How can you be lost if that same DNA runs through your veins? How can you know you can take me and I'm a part of my father? You can look at me and you can take mom and dad, and there's mom and dad, they're two separate people. You can take mom and dad and you can separate mom and dad. You can put mom over here and you can put dad over here, thus separating the two. But when mom and dad became one, hello, follow me. When mom and dad became one, they bear a child. Now I ask you to separate mom and dad. I ask you to separate mom and dad. I ask you to separate, once the Holy Ghost has come in, and that devil tries and he plays on your mind so much, but that's all it is. He can't have who you are if we can overcome that mind. Once the Holy Ghost has come in, there's been a union take place between you and God. It's the same as a union between husband and wife. Once that union comes together, now they have Benjamin Beard. There's a part of mom, there's a part of dad. You can't no longer separate it. How can you be separated from God? Right. You can't be.
Amen.
You can't be. If you took a glass of apple juice and a glass of grape juice, and you took them, and you put another empty glass out there, you poured the apple juice in, and you poured the grape juice in. What do you got? I want you to separate the apple juice, and then I want you to separate the grape juice. I want to see you do it. You can't do it.
Right.
What do you have? You have apple grape juice.
That's right.
You have apple grape juice. That's all. That's the only way there is about it. You can't separate the two. And God and Satan, though he tried, he can't separate God from you. And he can't separate you from God.
That's right.
Though you feel lost. Mm-hmm. Hey, right. I'm just identifying a devil.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm just here to encourage you. You know, the only responsibility I have as a preacher is to create an atmosphere that God be pleased to dwell in.
Yeah.
That's the only responsibility that I have. If I can create an atmosphere to where it builds you people's faith, then that devil will tremble. If we can create it, and it's not just up to the preacher, saints. It's not just up to the preacher. We've got to help.
Right.
We've got to help do it. Amen. We've got to help get, you know, a wagon gets pretty damn if you're pulling it all by yourself, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
But if Brother Tony gets off the wagon and he sees old Ben down there pulling the wagon, and Brother Tony says, hey, that looks heavy, let me help. Boy, it just makes it so much easier. He knows what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Makes it so much easier, Brother Tony, because now you've got two shoulders to the wheel. Right. Somebody else looks at Brother Tony and Brother Ben and says, you know, that looks heavy. I think I'll just put my shoulder to the wheel too. You know what you're doing? Whenever you do that, you're pushing the devil back. Amen. You're pushing the enemy back so that these people in this congregation can receive what they have need of.
Amen.
We're trying to meet Jesus this morning. I want to meet him.
Amen.
I want to meet him in a personal way. In a way that whenever he comes on the scene, all hell trembles.
You know, you can live such a life that whenever you get out of bed in the morning and your feet hit the ground, the devil don't know what he's going to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
But many of us choose not to live that life.
Right.
Many of us, and I'm just as guilty. I preach to myself too. I preach to myself too. We're guilty of choosing to let the devil rule us.
Amen.
You know, we're coming down. There's something different that's changing in this bride. There's something that's changing.
she's becoming more clear than she's ever been of who she is.
Right.
Let me tell you something. That's why that devil's fighting so hard.
Amen.
Because she's beginning to awaken. As we read last night, out of her slumber, there's something happening. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But everywhere you look, revival's setting in.
Amen.
What is it? She's gearing up for one last push. She's gearing up and she's going to push herself into the eternal realms of Christ.
Amen.
You're going to push yourself into the eternal realms of Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible said, you'll press your way, Brother Tony, into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Press don't mean you're just going to waltz right in there. But press means there's a battle. Hello?
Yeah.
There's something that's going to take place. And you're going to have to really get your hands dirty. You're going to have to get down there and you're going to be so beat up. But you know what? At the end of the day, you can look at a soldier that's been in a battle and then you can look and tell who had it.
That's right.
You can look at a soldier when he's come and he's ran back and the battle's over. You look at him, he's got a little dirt on him. He's got a little bit of blood on him from a wound down the way. He's got a little blood on him from a brother or a sister. Maybe he wasn't in the direct line of fire, but shrapnel got him. Oh, I've been there. It wasn't aimed at me directly, but the shrapnel got me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It wasn't aimed at me or you directly, but there was still something that hit you.
Yeah.
Or am I the only human amongst us today?
No.
Good. You've been there to where it seems like, but you look at that, I'm sorry, I'm getting off my thought. You look at that soldier, and he's tired. He's weary. Why? Because it wasn't easy getting where he's at. Every step of ground that he took, he had to fight for it. You know, you don't see a soldier that just is laying down. You see cowards laying down. But a soldier's out there fighting. A soldier has a prize. He's looking at the mark of the high calling. He's looking down there and he can see, you know, they can set a flag up. And as long as those men can see that flag still standing. Oh, the flag's still standing today, saints.
Amen.
It's still a standing. It's still a waving for freedom. It's still waving saying, come on. Come on. Don't stop yet. Come on. The flag's still up. Them men look over there and they can see that bill red, white, and blue and the stars and stripes. And that gives them something to press forward to. Because they know as long as that flag's still there, as long as that flag's still there, there's still victory at the end of the road.
Yes.
The flag ain't been captured yet.
That's right.
It's not been captured. It can't be.
That's right.
It can't be captured. Why? Because you're holding it. And Satan can't touch you.
Oh, that's right.
But we've got to believe it.
Amen.
We've got to believe it. We can't just profess it with our mouth. Anybody can read. I can read this Bible. I can read the message. But all I'm doing is professing it with my mouth. This message is just a message if all I'm doing is professing it with my mouth. Until it becomes a living reality. Come on, somebody. Until it becomes living word.
Right.
The word's alive. The word's not dead. It's alive, living in you and I. But people just profess it. They confess it. Instead of possess it. They confess it. But they can't seem to possess it. Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm the same way. We'll confess something, but I can't. I can confess to you that I got $1 million. Everybody know I'm a liar. But I can confess to you that I've got it. But the real test of the matter is, I've got to let you see into my bank account. I've got to let you see that I don't just profess it. but I actually possess it. Oh boy, I'd have some friends then, wouldn't I? I'd have some friends then if I had $1 million sitting in my bank account. If you weren't my friend before, you ain't my friend now.
I know. Wish I did sometimes, but I don't.
But we're talking about confessing. We confess that we believe this word, but do we really? Will we act upon it if we believe something long enough? And if we really believe something, Brother Tim, we'll act on it.
That's right.
If I believe in what I'm saying, there ain't none of you going to talk me out of it because I'm just that hard-headed. There ain't nobody else hard-headed in here, is there?
No.
I'm just, no, there's an honest one. There ain't no hard-headed ones in here. There's an honest one. Thank you, brother. But if you believe it, you'll not just confess it, but you'll act on it.
That's right.
You'll act on it. You'll go take that healing. You'll say, I don't have to live this way no more. You know, there was a blind man one time that came through Brother Branham's prayer line one time, and he walked through, I forget his name, you'll just have to bear with me. But he walked through one time, and he walked up to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham looked at him, and he began to talk to the man. And what was he doing? He was doing the same thing Jesus was doing on the well. He was contacting the man's spirit, and he began to speak with the man. And he says, oh, I see it, you're blind. And he said, you go on your way, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. That man standing there, and I'm paraphrasing, that man standing there, he walks off the platform still blind as a bat. Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, you're healed, go confess it. The man walks off the out of the prayer line. And he walks back into the back. And he's still blind as a bat, and he thought, something is wrong. So his brother Ryan said he began to push his way back through the crowd. He said he pushed his way all the way back up to where I was. He said he looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, you said I was healed, and I'm still blind. Brother Branham looked at him and he said, oh, don't you worry about it. You're healed. You go on confessing. You just go on confessing. So that man said, all right. He walked off the platform and he said, thank the Lord for my healing. He was still blind as a bat. Wouldn't you think that that devil of fear would try to come into this mind?
Yeah.
The same way he does you. We sit there with that disease and we refuse to confess it because what if? It don't happen. Well, if it don't happen and you've met the requirements of the Word, that makes God a liar.
That's right.
If you have met the requirements of the Word and you confess, that makes God a liar. And let me tell you something, God ain't no liar.
Amen.
That actually, it forces God's hand to move on the scene. All we lack is forcing that hand to move. Did you ever think of that? You may have met the requirements of Christ. You may have met the requirements of the Word. But now will you confess it?
Right.
You're lacking but one thing. Forcing the hand of God into your situation. You say, Ben, I don't know about that. Well, Jacob overcame him. Whoa! Jacob overcame God. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
That's what Brother Branham said. He said, Jacob overcame God. Because he wrestled with God. Brother Tony, he wrestled. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go.
Right.
Brother Branham said he overcame Jehovah. You say, can I do that? Oh yeah, you can do that. If he acted one way back then, he still has to act the same way today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he acted wrong then. But here was this man, he walks off the platform and he says, thank Jesus for my healing. And he walked and he was a blind man and he walked down the street and he would stand on the corner. Oh, he didn't just confess it. He didn't just confess it. He took it to the next level because he knew where he stood. You say, well, that's all good and well, but the prophet laid hands on him. I'm telling you right now, if Jesus Christ himself stood here before you, he could do no more for you than I can. He could do no more for you than Brother Tony could.
Right.
He couldn't.
That's right.
If Brother Branham, you say if Brother Branham would only come and stand behind that pulpit and preach a message, I believe I'd have the faith. If you don't have the faith now, you won't have the faith then. That's what he said. That's what Brother Brown said. He said that many times. He said, you think if you could live in the times of Jesus that you would have the faith to be healed. He said, but you would act exactly the same way you act now. That's what he said. But Jesus and Brother Brown could stand here. But he could do no more for you than I can. He could do no, because it's by what? Your faith. What did he say? Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, I heal you.
Right.
He said, your faith. He already done it. He done it when he died on the cross and he took those straps on his back. It was finished. His part was finished. Now it's up to you and I.
Right.
He don't have anything more to do, Tony. Brother Tony. He don't have anything more to do. He's done his part.
Right.
Now it's up to me to do something. I've got to go meet him. I've got to go meet him. It's up to me. Will my faith touch Jesus as blind Bartimaeus did? Will my faith touch Jesus as the little woman with the issue of blood did? Will my faith touch him? But here was this man. He didn't just profess it. He took it to the next level. He stood on a street corner somewhere and he proclaimed it. He proclaimed it. He said, thank God for my healing. He was standing on the street corner one day, and there was a barber, and many of you know the story. There was a barber shop on the other side, and that barber was sitting there cutting hair, and he goes, oh, there's that lunatic. There's that crazy over there, says he's healed, and still blind as a bat. Been proclaiming that, I think he said for 2 years, I could be wrong on that, don't quote me on that. I think he said for 2 years he claimed it. And that barber looked at the man in the chair over there and he goes, watch this, I'm going to have a little fun with him. The man was walking toward the barber shop and the barber said, watch this, I'm going to have a little fun with him. So he walks in and he opened up the barber chair and he says, come on over here and sit down. He said, and the man laid down in the barber chair and he said, I need a shave. So he laid there and that barber was letting there shaving him and he goes, I heard you went down there to that preacher's meetings. Down there to that holy roller. And you got prayed for and you've been confessing your healing. Oh, well, it still looks to me like you're blind. Oh, that devil.
Yeah.
Still looks to me like you still got it. They're lying vanities. And that old man, he sat there and he... As that man said that, Brother Graham said, all he said was, thank Jesus for my healing. He said it all at once. That confession finally took hold. He said, and then eyes came open in that barber chair. He said, and he flew that barber cover off of him. He said he hit the ground. One side was shaved, the other side wasn't. He didn't care at that point because he had done met Jesus. He had met the requirement. He had met Jesus.
Right.
He threw that cover off of him and he went busting out of that door. And let me tell you something. He had something to say. He said, thank Jesus for my healing.
Yes.
God had to bring it to pass. Had to.
Right.
What happened? He took him at his word and he forced the hand of Christ into the situation. That's right.
Yes.
That is exactly right. Actually forced the hand of Christ on the scene. Sometimes God wants to see how bad you really want it.
That's right.
You know, Lazarus one time, they came to him and you know, Jesus was out preaching, had revivals that he was holding, and Lazarus had died. And as Jesus was out holding this revival, Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. And Jesus, because They knew that if they could meet Jesus, that all things would be all right. We all know the story, but I'm bringing it back to remembrance. But Lazarus had died, and Jesus was out. And a messenger came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Lazarus has died. They need you back home." But Jesus didn't come on the scene. Jesus didn't stop what he was doing. Jesus didn't turn and just come right over there. This goes back to he wants to see how bad you really want it. Is that all right?
Yeah.
He didn't just stop right then. Everything he was doing to come back, because he said, "I do nothing but except the Father shows me first." Oh my, but finally after 2 or 3 days, I believe it was, he turned and he says, "I've got to go back." And I could see him walking down the road, coming back. And Martha, the Bible says that Martha ran to meet Jesus. Now notice, if her reaction to the word hadn't have been just right, this would have never happened. If Martha's reaction to the word had not have been just right, this could not have happened. It could not have. She had to react in accordance, in the order of the word. But Martha, the Bible says, ran to meet him and fell at his feet. Now notice the scene that's being created. What's happening? What's Martha doing? I ask you, what is Martha doing? Whenever she runs to Jesus, then she falls at his feet. What did Martha do? What is she doing? She's worshiping. She's worshiping. Because she knew what it would take. Oh, she knew what it would take for a miracle to take place. I believe with all of my heart we'll worship our way out of here. I believe it with all of my heart. I will praise my way out of these chains.
Yes.
I'll praise my way. Paul and Silas one day, they praised their way and the chains had to fall.
That's right.
Why? Because you think they felt like praising? Do you think in their bondage they really felt like doing something for God, Brother Tony? No, they didn't. But you know, as you do something, it becomes easier.
That's right.
As you do something, it becomes easier. Maybe they, you know, you sit in church and the first time, you can sit in church and you're all human. I sit in church sometimes and I don't feel like moving. I'll sit there and I don't want to do nothing. But there's something on the inside of me that says I'll bring this man under subjection to it. And all of a sudden there's a song that begins to play and all of a sudden my hands go up. Yeah, I might not have wanted to do it at first. It might have just been a sign. But before you know it, it becomes a little easier. And then sometimes you get to clapping a little bit. Oh, it seems a little weird at first. But as you do it, you begin to feel that presence begin to come down. What is it? I've determined in myself that I'm going to create an atmosphere. That's right. I'm going to do it. And before you know it, that fire catches to somebody else and you see somebody else's hand begin to raise.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dealing with the same devil.
Yeah.
Yet somebody else's hand begins to raise. And before you know it, somebody else gets lit off of their fire. You say, can they do that? Oh, yeah, they can.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they can. They can get lit off of your fire. You say, what's holding up revival? You are. Not me, not Brother Tony, it's you. And I say, what's holding up revival? I am. It's not you, it's me.
Right.
That's right.
Man.
But you sit there and you say, well, you realize that you can rob somebody out of their healing? You can. I might rob Brother Tim out of his healing because I wasn't obedient to the Lord. I might do it. How many times has that still small voice told you to raise your hands? How many times has that still small voice told you to stand your feet when nobody else is? How many times has that still small voice told you to start clapping your hands because the Holy Spirit is worthy of praise?
Amen.
How many times has that Holy Spirit told you to run the aisles and you sat there and you didn't do it because somebody might think funny?
Right.
Let me tell you something. How many people have I robbed out of their healing or their need? I. Me. You say, Ben, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Because sometimes somebody needs help and it takes you to push them on over.
Amen.
To say, you can do it. You can do it. Because somebody else will get blessed. Brother Tim would get blessed because I got blessed.
Right.
Because I did. And all of a sudden he says, if it can happen for him, if God can do something for him, he can do it for me. And all of a sudden, he's got the courage to stand up and say, devil, it's my time to conquer.
Amen.
Devil, it's my time. You've held me long enough. It's my time. I'm going to meet Jesus.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, there's something about that presence of Almighty God. Devils have to flee.
Amen.
But here was Martha. She ran out there and she ran out there and she fell at his feet and worshipped him. And she said, Lord, if you had only come earlier. But notice her response. She said, but even now, Lord. Even now, if you say it, it'll be. Notice the faith that was connected with her worship. It wasn't worship alone, but it was worship united with faith. And I can see Jesus now. He stands there. And the Bible says there's no beauty that you would look and desire of him. And Jesus standing there, maybe his shoulders drooping, he was tired. But yet whenever she spoke the right word, that moved the Spirit of Christ in the situation. I could see his shoulders square back because now he was fearless. He knew where he stood, Brother Tony. And that little bony finger, Brother Brown said, that little bony finger turned around and pointed and said, take me to him. They went to the tomb of Lazarus and he sat there and them little shoulders come back square. And I don't believe that he had to yell. But I believe he said, Lazarus, come forth. You realize if he hadn't said Lazarus, that would have been the general resurrection right then.
That's right.
But he had to identify Lazarus, come forth. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And as he did, what was it? Somebody had met Jesus. Martha had went and met Jesus and brought him on the scene. And by doing that, she received exactly what she had need of.
Amen.
Lazarus come out and he was bound. Many times you're bound. And Jesus looks and he says, loose him and let him go.
Right.
And I say today, devil, loose them and let them go. He can't hold you no longer. You're free today. You are free, but you've got to believe it.
That's right.
You know, a pardon is not a pardon until it's accepted as a pardon. And he's sitting here and he's giving you a pardon. And you say, Ben, you don't understand what I've done. Oh no, I don't understand what you've done. But I do understand where he brought me from. And I know if he can bring me from where he brought me, there ain't one of you in this place that's unsavable. There ain't one of you in this place that can't have God move on your behalf. Will you go meet Jesus today?
Amen.
Amen.
Stand with me at your feet this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Father, Lord, you see, Father, that Lord, I didn't know which way to go this morning, Father. I had two messages up here, Father. But Lord, I believe that this was the way you wanted me to go this morning, Father. God, I ask you, Father, Lord, you said your word would not return to you void, Father. And Lord, we know, Father, that Lord, we rest in that this morning. Lord, I ask, Father, that Lord, you would take this word, Father. And Lord, though it might have been a little bit scattered this morning, Father. But Lord, you're able to pull all the pieces together, Father. Lord, I ask you, dear God, that you would pull it together, Father. Lord, would it go to those, Father, that had need, Father? Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would send it, Father, and Lord, it would accomplish that which it was designed to do, that it was sent to do, Father. Lord, we have need of you this morning, Father. Lord, we're coming out, Father, to meet you this morning, Father. Lord, as we begin now to worship you, Father, Lord, we invite you to come, Father, and inhabit the praise of your people this morning, Father. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And your life will never be the same.
Scriptures that without faith it is impossible to please God. That's the core. It is a requirement. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that we can just pick and choose, but it's something we must have, and that is faith. Yes, sir.
As he was mentioning last weekend that by faith, Enoch walked with God.
That's right.
And God took him. And so we find ourselves in the same situation Enoch was in. We must walk in faith. Brother Ben mentioned a little while ago there about sometimes that you have to get everybody away from you.
That's right.
And I trust that that wouldn't mean that I'd have to get or you'd have to get any one of us away. But what he's speaking of there is getting those who are full of unbelief away from
you. Yes, well, that's right.
And I remember the story Brother Branham telling about the little bitty dog that was run over by the Oldsmobile car. The little dog that he called a half dog tall and two dogs long. And the woman that owned the dog ran over it, squished it. And how many remembers the story? If you go back and listen to it, you'll catch you just have to listen real closely, very quickly. Brother Branham, when one of the guys said, "Well, my dog, I'd just shoot it." Brother Branham said, "Well, I don't know that I'd do that." But if you listen real close, real quick, you'll hear Brother Branham say, "When I got everybody away, I went and prayed for the dog." And then the dog went and followed him up on the porch. And so sometimes you have to do that. Separate yourself. God is the segregationist.
Right.
To separate from unbelief, separate from anything that will hinder, and join yourselves together with those of like precious faith.
That's right.
Join with one another, share with one another, strengthen one another. When you see that your brother and sister's down and they need a little encouragement, like the brother said, reach down and pull it up and give them that extra boost of faith, because one stick by itself is easy to broken, right? You little kiddies go this afternoon, if you want to, you go home, you'll gather up a bunch of sticks and take one stick and watch how easy it is to break it. Then take about three of them, put them together, and see how easy it is. And
that's right.
Put 10 of them together.
Yes,
saints, that's us.
That's
us as believers. That's why I said last week, every time somebody gets discouraged, the first thing that happens, the first suggestion that comes to their mind is they'll go to church.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
yeah.
the first thing when you get discouraged. Uh-huh. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, but that's the first thing. Don't go to church. Why? Because he wants to isolate you as one stick and snap you in half. That you've got to stay with your brothers and sisters, stay in the faith, believing. We also know that people have times and their troubles and that sort of thing. And I remember Brother Branham telling us, when somebody draws you out of their circle, you just draw them back in your circle.
Yes, sir.
And I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where it says, and of course you have to separate from unbelief, but as far as believers are concerned, when you disagree with them or something, I don't see anywhere where it says for you to draw them out of your circle.
That's right.
You always draw them back in, because love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes, that's right.
Sins. And if we have love in our hearts, we can get along with one another.
Amen. Right?
We love God, we'll love each other.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what the key is to it all. Brother Ben said, "How bad do we want it?" That's a good question.
Yes, sir.
How bad do we want it? Perhaps some of us want it more than others. That's a good thing. I was thinking about that last night. Many of us, I would say all of us, want deliverance from our enemies that we fight daily.
Yeah.
And we do. But how bad do we want it?
That's right.
Because you see, the devil, your oppressor, he also offers you benefits.
Uh-huh. That's right.
He also offers you, and it's on a worldly side, there's a compromise. But there's a certain something there that he offers, and we want deliverance from him, but yet there's things about what he wants to offer us that we have struggles with. And when we finally get to the place where we say, you know what, I don't want anything else to do with it, just flat out 100% total separation from it, when we get to that place, then God will deliver us.
That's
and I believe that we're at that point now.
Amen.
And so it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I've been blessed. God's good to us, saints.
Amen.
And it is, I believe our brother's right, I believe we will worship our way right out of this into this body change. Because anytime the Lord had something serious to do, he didn't send somebody else to do it, he'd come himself.
That's right.
Amen.
And you've heard it said before that when the man and woman are courting one another, and We call one another on the phone and they write letters, you know, but after a while their love for each other gets so strong that phone calls and letters won't work anymore.
Yeah.
The only thing that will work after that is when they become one.
That's right.
And I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has come to that place, that He wants to be with us so bad, and we want to be that with Him that bad, that at some point it won't be sufficient anymore.
Yeah.
Just letters and sermons behind the pulpit and just a few praises in worship, that it actually come a point where that oneness will come and will be irreversible. And so He's good to us.
Amen.
I want to thank Brother Ben for coming. It's a 3-hour drive, and I know that's taxing on his body. I appreciate Brother, the kindness that he's extended to us, this fellowship. Appreciate the ministry, how the Lord works through and speaks through him to give you a different angle. You know, I know that you don't need to hear me and hear my slant all the time. God gave us a fivefold ministry for that, for a purpose. And I want to do what I can to make sure that fivefold ministry works in this body. And I know you will benefit very well. If we eat one thing, one course meal all the time, you probably wouldn't be very healthy. Even if it was something healthy you were eating, you need a variety. And so we thank the Lord for what He's done today. And I just want to bow our hearts and just close service here this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've said, it's been so good to be in this place today. Lord, we feel like that from eternity You sent words to encourage us.
Yes.
Lord, help us to see that each one of us in our battle, that we fight the same enemy and the same tricks that He uses on one, He uses on another. And help us to see, Lord, that we truly can help one another. We truly can reach down and take hold of our brothers and sisters when they're discouraged. Lord, we can make a difference in their lives. We thank You, Lord, for that. We pray, God, that in this week ahead, that the things that we've heard today, we just be able to take them, Lord, and adopt them into everyday action, not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We love You, Lord. We want to ask God for Your blessings upon the saints as they leave this place, as we go to fellowship, and as we travel to our places and go to our jobs. Lord, we need You. We need Your Word. We need Your promises to ring out, Lord, in our hearts daily. And I ask God that You would just grant that to all of Your people, Lord. May we rise up in strength and victory, not to fall back, not to cool off, but to just become more and more like You, more fervent, running to meet the enemy, Lord. We ask God that You would help us in these things. Bless our brother and sisters as they travel home. Lord, just give them an abundant blessing of Your presence, rest for their bodies so they can go about the business that they have this week. We love You and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if anybody doesn't know, we're going to have fellowship at my house this afternoon. And everybody's welcome, whether you knew or didn't know, whether you brought anything or didn't bring anything, all things are possible. And we want to see you. So God bless you.
All is well.